to barbecue or not to barbecue? That is the question this weekend. Welcome to the real No Kings Day.
Oh, yeah. No Kings.
Welcome to Faith, Freedom, and Fitness, the podcast where God, government, and gluten collide. Introducing your host, John Turk, a former police officer, fitness cover model, and the real-life inspiration behind Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat. He is joined by Michael Wayne Foster, a former school teacher, actor, and model who's graced the covers of over 800 romance novels. Get ready for the F3 podcast.
I was hoping today that we could talk about 4th of July weekend. It's happening. You know, as we said, the real No Kings Day. And the thing about the 4th of July, when you think about it, I think the first thing that comes to everybody's head, I would think, next to fireworks, is pool parties, beach parties, picnic type, you know, barbecue thing. And you know as well as I do, this is a great opportunity to literally do everything you can to destroy your physique.
Yeah, right. I mean, and I've done it quite a few times. So,
oh yeah. I mean, you know, we've all been to the barbecues where there's a lot of evil stuff going on. So I just thought maybe right now we could go back and forth, throw some stuff around about, if people were listening to this, what would be the best thing they could do over the 4th when it comes to eating, when it comes to figuring out what kind of exercise they're going to do it. And we'll even talk about drinking too. I mean, let's keep it real. People are going to drink. So if we can find a way to mitigate the damage, then maybe that'd be the way to go.
Yeah.
So let's want to start off with
the first thing I do. If I know I'm going to be at a barbecue and it's going to be a lot of things I love to eat, I'll stuff myself at home with good food right before I go. So that way I'm not as hungry. So when I get there, I can hold off a little while, let the food get picked over. And by the time I get hungry to eat, you know, the things that are going to be left are the big ticket items, right? A lot of the small little munchies will be gone. That's where I get destroyed on.
Except the celery, John, that'll be there.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Yeah,
like the celery and the carrots, that little thing that, you know, like Aunt Linda brought or something like that, you know, that's the only thing left after all the chips and all that are gone.
Yeah, they're all gone. So, and you know, all you can eat is the main courses. So that's one of the things I'll do. But the other thing I'll do is I try to go around the party and talk to people I don't know and just get to know people. So I won't be so focused on the food. So now I ate before I go. I walk around the party, look for people I haven't seen in a while or new people, introduce myself and just kind of hang out and then just get out of sight, out of mind, right? Especially like if there's a lot of desserts, I don't even go by the dessert table because that's my number one weak spot. So you got to find what your weak spot is and just know where it's going to be and stay away from it. And then the other thing I'll do is I always say to myself, I can have one thing that I want to eat. And if they don't have it, what's the next thing I'm going to pick? So when I get to a barbecue, I love, I don't eat a lot of red meat. I love red meat, but I don't eat a lot of it. So when I go to a barbecue, I save my red meat time for when I'm at the barbecue and I'll load up on like 3 or 4 big giant beef patties, but I won't have the bun. And I'll just eat the lettuce. And I love having lettuce, onion, and tomato on my, and pickle on my burger. So basically I wrap it in lettuce. I put onion and pickle and on there with mustard. And then I wrap it in that. And dude, I'm telling you, it's phenomenal. And you know what else is great to add to that? Dill weed. So you put dill weed on top of it. Man, it just gives it like this nice tangy flavor. And so
how many people right now are you think list this being like, hey, tomorrow when I go to the store, remind me to get some dill weed. I'm taking that to the party to keep my pocket. Because John Turk said if I sprinkle that on my burger, it'll be awesome.
Yeah, it is really good, though.
You told me with the chicken. Remember you told me how it was bacon chicken? You're like, throw dill weed on it. So to those of you listening, I did it. John's right. I was like, this is good.
Yeah, and you know what else I use, Mike? Costco has this, they're chopped onions, dried in a shaker, like real small little pieces of onion that fit right through the little shaker holes, right? And they're bigger shaker holes. And you put that when I bake my chicken, like if I'm having it on a grill, I put my seasoning on it or my marinade, and I put that chopped onion on it. Dude, it's so good. And onions are so good for you. They're very filling because of the sulfur in them. So they're really good. The thing I try to do is I eat enough vegetables as it is. I won't eat a lot of vegetables at a party. I do look for like more fruits. So at home, I eat a lot of meat and vegetables. But when I go out, instead of eating a lot of sweets, I'll focus on really good fruits. Like at a barbecue, you can't go wrong eating watermelon. because number one, it's full of fiber. Number two, it's full of water. And number two, three, it's sweet. So right now you've killed three things that make you hungry. Fiber, you know, if you don't have enough fiber, it fills your, well, so first of all, you got satiety, right? Which includes heat. Heat takes away hunger. Fiber takes away hunger. Some kind of calories in the form of sugar that gets in you real quick. Water. So you got four things out of the five that get rid of your hunger, just in a watermelon. So, I mean, watermelon's great. And then the other thing I'll do is I'll get like a Diet Coke, and the caffeine kind of amps me up. It helps me mingle and you know, and have the energy to talk to more people, but you don't have all the calories in it. And I know Diet Coke isn't the best for you, but hell, you're at a barbecue, right? You're going to pick your poison. So
okay,
for me,
so
it's
let's
like
talk about that. Yeah. Let's talk about poison. Okay. So you're saying walking with the Diet Coke, let's say that I totally agree. You can walk around, you could drink water, you could drink a diet soda of some kind. You know, they've got all sorts of low calorie drinks. So you could either, you know, what can I bring? Bring something to drink. You know, boom, you're good to go. But what if you make the choice to drink? I was always along. I know you're big on the tequila thing. I was always big on like vodka. I would do vodka and some sort of like a diet soda. That would be diet, you know, soda water, and then squeeze lime in it.
I think vodka is great, especially if you got a really good one, because it's clear, and you always want clear alcohols if you're going to drink. I just don't think some of them, they say like, you know, you drink a good scotch or a bourbon, it's brown, it's the barrel it was put in. But I just think that if you look at a lot of the vodkas, the tequilas, they're very clear. There's less fillers in it and things that are going to irritate you. And sometimes you could have a problem with the barrel that they, you know, put it in. But most of the white or clear alcohols are more cooked. You know what I mean? As opposed to they're fermented, but they're a lot of times they're cooked. So there's less things in them that are going to irritate you. You got pure alcohol in there and they add a little flavoring with the tequila. I guess it's the processing. But that's kind of why I like tequila. I just like the bite of it. And it goes like a lime or a lemon goes really, really good with it. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I like about tequila is if you add like the salt around the rim, but you don't put all the sugar in it, dude. I mean, that salt will satisfy you because it'll hold more water in your gut.
You can use tahini too. I love doing tahini because it gives you
right.
Chili salt too. Yeah, and I'm with you. I think tequila, I mean, if you're going to do it, we're talking about like if you're just throwing down, I'm going to drink at this party.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're sitting there slamming beers all day, that's probably a pretty bad idea, would you say, John?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously margaritas, I mean, tequila is great, but margarita mix is basically lemon juice and lime juice. That's what a sour mix is. And that's just going to be, especially if you're drinking more than one or a big one, that's a sugar bomb.
Yeah.
And, you know, then people put mango and strawberry and everything else there. I mean, you're just creating yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, anything with juice, if you're drinking orange juice. So I know one of the things that I would do, and again, going back to tequila, you know, that comes from the agave plant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what do you know about the glycemic index of agave syrup?
Is that good? Yeah.
Okay, it's not.
That's, yeah. It's not.
Not that it's got agave syrup in it, but it's come from the plant. But it was like, remember in the day when everybody'd be like, oh, use agave syrup. That's better.
Because
like,
it's natural, but it's very sugary, right?
Yeah.
So you just got to, it's not the best thing in the world. There's obviously better options. But if you're using it for a drink, I'll tell you, man, dude, I love putting my stevia in my tequila, you know, so I take tequila. Okay. And the thing is, when you got the shot there and you got soda water, you could put tequila in like stevia in the tequila. It won't foam up so much. But when you put it in like seltzer water, like I do. So I had seltzer water, shot of tequila, a lime, a little bit of salt. And then I would put the stevia in it. It starts to foam up really bad. You got to do it really slow. But I'm telling you, bro, it's no calories. It's stevia. It's great. And it is so refreshing. I got so many people hooked on that drink. And I even told a couple of clients, I'm like, listen, if you're going to drink, try this drink. And they love it. So
you could actually, you know, what you would do is I'm pulling out some of my old bartending skills here. Mm-hmm. You could take that and make it like a super skinny margarita. Everything you just said, yeah. I love the idea of soda water in a drink, especially at barbecues, because you can make more volume. I mean, you could go around with a shot. It's, you know, a little tiny shot glass or rocks glass or like this big, you know, cooler, you know, thermos that I'm drinking out of. But the point is you're going to stay hydrated. And like you said, water helps keep you satiated. So, I mean, instead of just doing like one can of soda per shot of tequila, why not put two cans of soda with a shot of tequila? And then don't just squeeze the lime in there. Squeeze the lime and the lemon and a lot of it with the stevia, and that will give it a margarita-y kind of bite to it, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's the lemon and the lime that actually, that's what the margarita, you know, mix is all about.
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, too, is I think the biggest thing with a party is you have to, like anything else, when you're trying to lose weight and stay in shape, you have to prepare. You have to have like a system down for each one of these events. And it doesn't matter really if you're going to a barbecue or a wedding or whatever it may be. It's all the same thing. You're constantly inundated with different foods and different ways to ruin your diet. So you got to know, okay, I'm going to a wedding. I know these people, they're big Italian people. They love this food, this, that food, or, you know, I'm going to this Greek wedding and they got all this Mediterranean stuff there. So, you know, you prepare for what you're going to encounter. And for me, I've just found once you have a system down, and my biggest thing is I got to eat before I go. I bring protein bars with me, because if there's too many sweets and I'm really dying for them, I'm like, you know, I'm just going to eat this protein bar. And then I'll eat it. It's chocolatey or whatever. And then I'm fine. And I don't have to, you know, go after it. But you know me with chocolate, dude. I'm a chocolate freak. Okay. So
you got real problems, John.
So if I go to a party and there's like a ton of, you know, chocolate laying around, I'm going to want a piece. But the thing of it is if I go and I haven't had any, like I didn't have a bar before I go, I'm going to eat more chocolate, even though I might not be hungry, right? Because I just love chocolate. But if I have that bar, I've just cut out half of my craving for chocolate because it's got chocolate in it, you know, and then I have like a little piece. So
you took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say bars for sure. And the other thing too is, and this is what I used to do. It was back when I was teaching, you know, when you walk in the teacher's lounge, you never know when you're going to get like the, you know, somebody, oh, we're getting donuts this week.
You know,
and they do that stuff at church sometimes too. So I always try to make sure that, like you said, what a great point you made. It's all about just like your diet, just like your nutrition, just like working out. It's all about preparing. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to a party, John's protein bar idea, I agree. And I like too, some of the pre-made protein drinks that are actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, just taking, I would always keep those with me. Like when I go over to church sometimes, cause I never know what I'm going to expect. Yeah. I like those Redcon MREs. I use those. So I'll take one of those with me just in case. And nothing happens. I'm sipping on a protein drink. And then if I see, I walk in and there's donuts and stuff everywhere, I gun it as fast as I can.
I can't look at them, man. Cause when I look at them, that little devil on my shoulder is going, go ahead and do it. You know,
Johnny boy, one bite. That's like,
One bite turned into 50.
Yeah. Eve took one bite. You know how that turned out.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not good with that. I can't, I know myself. Listen, if I was a drug addict, I'd be under a bridge. I'm that much of an addictive personality. I'd be, you know, going to the CVS with my hat out, asking for money, and I'd be going and doing drugs somewhere. So I'm no different. I just have a different addiction. You know, I always tell my buddies buddy's an alcoholic. I said, hey, listen, man, I understand, you know, your addiction's alcohol, but mine is food. And I get you. And this is what you got to do. In reality too, you got to look at addicts. They have to treat things the same way as we do as fitness enthusiasts. It's just that we treat it in a different category, right? Mm-hmm. You got alcoholism, you got food addicts, right? They're still addicts, just they're different category of addict. And you have to figure out what's your best options in order to not become that person who just goes overboard. Yeah, and for me, going overboard is I eat so much sometimes when I lose it. And I got to literally undo my belt buckle. I lay back and then Julia listens to me complain all night long. Then I complain the next day because I got to do more cardio. I'm like, why did I do that to myself? And then, you know what?
Do you remember the first time that we hung out after we filmed Wolfhound together when you and Julia came to the
house? Yeah.
Yeah. I went and I got all those Armenian desserts.
Food. That was good.
Oh, yeah. Armenian food is so good. But, I mean, we were eating clean. It was like kebab, rice, you know, vegetables and all that. But then, remember, I busted out the Armenian desserts?
Yeah.
That was the first time I saw that you were – oh, man. I probably got like – I mean, each piece is – it's hard to describe. They're large pastries. Like, they've got Napoleon, which is like these, you know, phyllo dough leveled sugar.
Yeah.
Anyway, point of it is, I think, John, you might have had six or seven of them. I mean, each dessert is supposed to be like a dessert. And you were just, I loved it because I'm over there like, I'm with you, you know, but man, that's, I was like, oh yeah, you got the sugar tooth, man. It's evil.
Did I ever tell you what I did to my dad once with him? So my dad had a bad, this is a funny story. So my dad had a really bad sweet tooth, just like me. And we both love Dove bars. So one day I came over, I bought a couple Dove bars. He goes, "No, these are really good, John." He goes, "Where'd you get them?" I said, "Oh, they got them over at Jewel in the, you know, the frozen section." So he goes and he buys the Dove bars, and I ended up eating like four of them. And he comes in the kitchen, he goes, "You ate all my Dove bars." I go, "Oh, I'll go buy you more." He goes, "Okay." So after a while, I notice he's not, doesn't have any more Dove bars. So I just kind of ignore it. My dad goes on to Turkey for like 3 months in the summer. He used to do that. And so I looked through his fridge, and my dad saved everything. And another real quick story, he had yogurt in the fridge. I opened it up. It's got mold on the top of it. I chuck it in the garbage. He comes down and he goes, "Where's my yogurt?" I go, "Dad, there's mold all over the top of it." He goes, "That's not garbage. You just scrape it off." He goes into the garbage, grabs the yogurt out, looks at it, takes the, goes to the sink, dishes, scoops it off, and takes a bite. And he goes, "See, it's still good." And he dumps it back into a bowl, puts it in the fridge. That was my dad. He just, that's the way he was. He didn't, well, you got to realize he was born in the 1920s and went through the Depression in the Middle East, right? So he was, saved everything. So fast forward, he goes to Turkey, and I'm cleaning out his fridge, and I see Bob Evans sausages in the fridge, and it's got a four-year expired date on it. I go, 4 years, these sausages, you can't eat these. So I go to the garbage, and I start dumping them out, and it's full of Dove bars. I go, "That bastard's hiding the Dove bars on me." So while he's gone, I eat every Dove bar, and I shove them all back into the box, the empty wrapper. Well, I ate them in like one visit. I ate like five Dove bars, right?
So
I shove the thing in there, put it back in the fridge. I completely forget about it. My dad comes home, and we're watching the Bears game, and we're sitting there. And he looks at me with a smile, and he goes, "Hey, you want a treat?" And I go, "Yeah, what do you got?" He goes, "Never mind that. I'll be right back." He waddles over, you know, he's full of arthritis. He's about 80-something years old. And all of a sudden I hear in the background, "You son of a bitch, you ate all my Dove bars." And I went, "What is he talking about?" And all of a sudden I walk in the kitchen, he's holding the Bob Evans bag up. And I go, "Oh, yeah, I did." Man, was he pissed. Oh, dude, I used to, my dad and I, we messed with each other so much. He was a trip. You would have loved my dad.
He sounds like he'd be a lot of fun.
He was a blast. So that was my dad, you know. So he was the sugar freak, and then that's where I got it from, you know, all that sugar. My mom was too. You know, my mom was a diabetic. She ate so much, you know. So you know what my mom's breakfast was? A sweet roll. That was her breakfast with a cup of coffee. No. Her lunch snack was like toast with apricot jam and like a cup of coffee with like loads of sugar in it. She never ate nothing but junk food, man. I just grew up watching her. I'm like, "Mom, you shouldn't be eating that." You know, that's why she probably died at 69 years old. You know, she had all kinds of health problems. And yeah, it's just crazy when you look at how we ate as kids. And, you know,
hey, kids now. Who are you talking to? I totally get it. I mean, that was that's why I was, I always say FFF or FFK, former fat kid. I mean, I grew up, you know, my genetic lineage, my dad's family, you know, his mom was Italian. So it was like tons and tons of, obviously the carbs there, but his dad was a butcher. There's your fatty meat. And anybody that knows, if you're going to do a ton of carbs, you better have a low fat, you know, you're the Turk rule, you know, if you're going to have your fats, don't have any carbs around, you know,
right.
It's a recipe for disaster. So, you know, you talk about all the evils that I commit at Korean barbecue that comes from my dad's side. I mean, I grew up eating a lot of red meat, and it was, of course, I didn't realize how
like
I had
a lot.
I like it a lot, but you know, we'd have big chest freezers full of beef, and it was like stuff that was, you know, eating grass in the middle of Ohio that my grandfather butchered. I didn't realize how good I had it. You know, my mom's parents were more like, they would try to, like, you know, we weren't allowed to put sugar in our cereal over at their house. And they always had, like, you know, bran flakes and stuff. Like, it was, I was like, oh, and you know, my grandparents always had a garden. So it was always vegetables and this sort of stuff. And they baked a lot of things and grilled a lot of things. And I'm like, I couldn't wait to go to my dad's parents' house, because it was like, you walk in and grandma's got like a bird feeder inside the house on the table full of M&Ms, both regular and peanut. I'm like, man, I mean, the cannolis and the whole.
I got you.
Anyway. So the point is that if you're listening to this and hearing John talking about his dad and the Dove bar scandal, you know, or his mom with the croissants, the sweet roll, my dad with all the beef and all that stuff. The bottom line is that we've got food addictions just like anybody else out there. Yeah. And, you know, the hardest thing to do is to show up at one of these parties unprepared and then have to be able to gut it out being like, well, I really don't want to eat that. Cause I mean, like both of us, if I walk over to the dessert table and have one bite, it's like walking up to a grizzly bear, cutting my thumb and saying, "Hey, grizzly bear, would you like to try just a little taste of blood?" You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That mofo is going to bite my arm off. And I'm the same way. It's like, remember back in the day before we got married, we started dating Julie. I don't know if you ever dated any girls that'd be like, "John," they'd say this to me all the time, "Oh, just have one bite of my cheesecake." And I'd look at him. I'm like, "Do you have any idea what's going to happen? If I don't have it, this is going to be a great night. But if you give me one bite of that cheesecake, all I'm going to be thinking about until I drop you off or whatever's going to happen is that cheesecake or finding more of it." So,
Yep. I'm the same way, brother. I mean, I know
you are.
Yeah, there's a skit that Kevin James did, and he was talking about when he goes out to eat, because he's a foodie too. You know what Kevin James is? He was King of Queens. I love that show. Yeah. And he says, the thing of it is, when I go out to a restaurant, he goes, "I can't focus until I eat." And every tray that comes out, he goes, "I'm looking at it and go, ooh, what's that?" And he can't even hear his wife. And he goes, and then I'll see another tray. I'm like, "Okay, I think that's my food." And he's watching, like, "Oh, it's not my food." "Yes, honey." And he's talking to her. And I'm like, I start laughing, and Julia's laughing. She goes, "Oh my God, you're exactly like him. That's exactly how you are." And I'm like, "I know. I can't help it. You know, until I get that food, man, it's just like, forget it. I can't even focus."
I now see that's daily life now, but for me at a party, I do a lot what you do. I will have something before I go to make sure I'm kind of satiated.
Yeah.
But if I'm partying or hanging out wherever it is, I can't eat. Yeah. So that even at my wedding, when the food came out and it was there, I made sure I had like a bite to say that I did. But it's like, for me, if I eat a lot, I tend to get tired. So like if I go to parties, I tend to fast throughout the whole time. So you were talking about, you know, you kind of pick over what's left. That's usually me. And I do it because if I show up at a party and have a big plate or whatever, I'm just going to sit down and that's going to be about all she wrote. You know, I just get real lethargic. So,
I find if I avoid it as long as I can, I'll be pretty good. You know, just wait till the end when everything's picked over. And then I look at it and I go, it's not even good now, you know? Yeah. So that's the best thing for me. And then, you know, like we said, eat, carry protein bars, but No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I wanted to ask you about, like, okay, so since we're talking barbecue too, like barbecues for the 4th of July, let's take a look at the staples, and what do you think you could tell the good people out there are the best choices? So for example, let's take a look at what staples are at most barbecues. You're either going to have burgers, dogs, brisket, pulled pork or some kind of a pork, maybe ribs, pulled pork, whatever it would be, chicken. What else would there be? I'm trying to think on the grill. I mean, that's pretty American right there.
Yeah. I would say
if you're in Glendale, kebab, lule and kubade.
Right. Right. I think a lot of people, will have, corn dogs. Those are there too. You'll see corn dogs at barbecues. Yeah. I'm not a corn dog fan, but I focus on the beef, and usually what I'll do is like, I'll avoid pork. I don't eat any pork. I just think it's a real dirty meat. If you know anything about pigs, they'll eat anything. And it's not a real clean or healthy meat to eat. You know, pigs have a vein that goes from their heart because they eat so much junk that drains toxins out all the way down their arm out of their hoof. And it's just constantly draining crap out of their system. So why would you eat that meat, you know? And, you know, what's kind of crazy too is if you look at the Bible, you look at the Quran, you look at a lot of these religions, everyone's banned from eating pork because they know how dirty the meat is.
Okay, I got to give a quick spoiler. I got to tell you, for those of you that watched The Chosen, we just finished season 5 the other day.
Great show.
So good. But there's this one scene that I just love where Caiaphas, the head Jewish
rabbi.
Yeah, but he was
He's the head Pharisee. Jewish leader, Pharisee, right?
Pharisee, Sadducee. Yeah. So he shows up to Pontius Pilate's place, and Pontius Pilate's got all this huge tray full of shrimp and oysters and all this stuff. And he walks in and he's just basically like, you know, more or less, you want some? And he's like, you know, I can't eat that. And he's like, oh, we've got braised pork. And I'm just like, what a dick.
Yeah.
But how he did that, I was like, okay, that was kind of cold-blooded. Yeah. You're correct. I mean, with the exception of Christians, I mean, really, does anybody eat pork?
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. Jewish folks don't. Muslims don't.
Christian,
I don't remember ever being in an Indian restaurant and seeing beef or pork. It's lamb or chicken usually.
Yeah, right.
Man,
Yeah, lamb and rams and things like that are the big sacrifices in Judaism and in Islam. And so, yeah, not many people do. I think beef is probably your best bet because it's probably more satisfying. Chicken is too, but I like beef just because if you're not someone who eats a lot of beef, but you like it, a barbecue is like your little treat, right? And just don't like my one rule that I tell everybody is never combine carbs and fat. So if you're going to go to a barbecue, don't eat, and you're going to have a nice big fatty beef patty, don't eat a lot of carby stuff. You're just going to really load the weight on. Yeah. And so like, if I'm going to eat burgers, I'm not going to have a lot of carbs. If I'm going to eat chicken, I'll eat some carbs and some vegetables and stuff like that. But usually if I'm eating beef, I'll load up on the beef and I won't have really much of anything else. And I won't need anything else with that, you know?
I totally agree. Totally agree.
If you combine salting it and everything else, you're going to be pretty satisfied, you know?
Now, one thing that we might want to mention though, too, is you might want to keep an eye out for the sauces because that is the one thing. And I mean, I'm guilty of anybody else. I mean, and I will eat pork. So, I mean, and it's not my go-to unless it's bacon. Sorry. but I love bacon. But the... You know
they make bacon chapstick, Mike. Did you ever see the bacon chapstick?
No, but why would I do that to myself? I'd be walking around all day long licking my lips with bacon. I'd go insane, John.
Yeah.
I would go insane. Do they really have bacon chapstick?
Yeah, that's a bacon chapstick.
Never heard
of it. I had a friend who loved bacon, and she's like, yeah, they got bacon chapstick. I just found it. You know, I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, smell it. I'm like, holy cow, it smells just like bacon. It's like bizarre. Yeah. Wow.
Well. Anyway, the pulled pork or chicken or whatever. I don't know about you, but I'd love loading it up with barbecue sauce. I do. Mm-hmm. I like barbecue sauce. But then you look at one serving of it. It's like I don't put a tablespoon on there. I'm talking. I'll put like five. I like to dip everything and just drain. And it's a sugar bomb. So I mean, you're sitting over here thinking, well, I'm just going to eat meat all day, looking at the dessert table, be like, ha ha ha! I've conquered my sugar addiction. It's great as you're just knocking down Sweet Baby Ray's.
Yeah. You ever hear Ronnie Coleman when he cleaned his diet up and won like at first Olympia? Mm-hmm. You're saying, what'd you do? He goes, I cleaned my diet up. And they're like, what do you mean? He goes, I got rid of barbecue sauce and all my sauces because they were loaded with sugar. And I didn't know that. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, here's a pro.
You can watch some of his videos when he's off season. Mm-hmm. That man puts barbecue sauce on everything.
But I
was watching and I'm like, okay, this is not his cut because no bodybuilder would have barbecue sauce. I mean, when you look at it, it's not just sugar. It's high fructose corn syrup. It's hydrogen. I mean, actually, if you think about it, and it's got the hydrogenated oils in there too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, barbecue. Right. I remember, you know what it was? It wasn't last summer. It was the summer before when you and Julia came out, when I literally took every barbecue sauce in there that wasn't sugar-free or organic, and I chucked them because I was like, I love Sweet Baby Ray's. I just take some ribs, and I just lather them in that stuff, and I've not done it since.
Yeah. You
know? No, that's everything good. I try to do is a dry rub now, too. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, you brought up an interesting point with the seed oils. A lot of the stuff at barbecues, the other meats are cooked in seed oils.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at like anything they put oil on is usually a seed oil. You're rarely going to find something that's 100% olive oil. And even then, if you look in the store and you buy something that's in a dressing or, you know, a seasoning or like a marinade, it's going to say olive oil. And then it's also, if you look a little further down the way, it's going to say some kind of seed oil, you know, like
palm kernel, something like that.
Yeah. Safflower. It's all in there. And it's just, they put like 10% olive oil in it and they add, you know, safflower oil after that. So
it's a proprietary blend.
Right. Yeah.
But you know what though? Like, so going back to the meats and all that stuff. So watch the sauces for sure. Heavy on the meats, especially beef. I'm with you. But then take a look at all the sides, especially when we're getting into some like Americana 4th of July stuff. There's always potato salad. Absolutely not. There's always coleslaws. And the thing is, I used to be among the thing. I'm like, well, I just won't have the mayonnaise-y coleslaw. Plus, it's going to be out all day. I'll go with the vinaigrette one. But they dump it. I mean, I was watching my mom make that one time. It's like, and it calls for a cup of sugar and all this. I'm like, oh my gosh, this stuff. Yeah. So coleslaws, I mean, your best bet is going to be if they've got some kind of a salad situation, make a salad and then just see if they've got vinegar and oil or a balsamic or something. You can look at the label and make sure you're not, you know.
Yeah.
Because all those salads that, I mean, you know, you're from the Midwest. You go to a barbecue and it's just, you know, potato salad, and then all the casseroles that show up, and then and then baked beans and all that stuff. It's all got sugar bombs. So it's like saying, it's like meat or vegetables, and that's it. If you're doing it, if you're not doing it, I recommend drinking beer all day long. I recommend all the salads, potato, the desserts will be wonderful. You should have a cookie at least in your hand at least once every 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, have a good time. But if you're listening to us and you're like, man, I'm really doing well on my diet and training's coming along well, but I got to go to, we're actually going to two this weekend. Okay, prepare.
Yeah.
Do the John thing. Stuff yourself before you go with good stuff. That's the best idea you can ever do. Take a protein bar or a shake and then find out where the beef is and stick to it.
Yeah. You know how I figured that one out was, is I at one time I was like, well, I'm not going to eat all morning long and I'll wait till mid-afternoon and I'll go there. And I'll save my calories for when I get there. People have that mentality. I did too. It's the worst thing you can do, because then you get there and you're starving. And man, the switch is
ravenous.
Yeah. And then if you eat fast like I do, your hunger takes a while to turn off once you start eating. So I could plow in probably, 10,000 more calories than I would normally eat, because it takes time for that blood sugar to catch up and tell you to, hey, I'm getting full here, And so,
and by that time, you're sitting on the couch going, Julia, we might want to get going pretty soon. I'm sort of
right. So I mean, that idea I had of saving my calories up so I can eat at the barbecue is just a bad one, because you're going hungry and you just pounding everything, man. It's just doesn't stop. So I think I definitely have some gluttony issues when it comes to food. I tell people all the time, I'm a foodie. I used to, when I wrestled, I would had to make weight, and I'm trying to make weight and I'm like 90 pounds. Right. So I'm trying to make 89 as a wrestler. I go out and I would eat like I couldn't stand it, 'cause I was always hungry, and I'd slob down all this food, and then I would go throw up, and then I would make sure before the thing I was, underweight. And I thought, wow, this is really stupid.
I found wrestling. I played basketball, so I didn't have to ever worry about like dieting like that.
Yeah.
But I found wrestling to just be so like bizarre, or it was just like, I'd watch the guys, they'd sit in like those sauna suits. It's a cult. It was. And again, if I could go back in retrospect though, I would have much rather wrestled, because I mean, it's like, okay, basketball was fun and everything, but as far as practical applications in the real world, I'd love to have that wrestling skill, because things go sideways. If I see cauliflower ear, or like missing a tooth, and say I play hockey, those are the two dudes I don't mess with.
Hockey players
and wrestlers, man. Nope. You guys are good. Yeah. But like the thing that I never got is how they always dipped. All the guys always have a dip in. So they wouldn't eat.
The players or the wrestlers?
The wrestlers.
Really?
They would sauna suits and saunas, and they would just dip nonstop, trying to get as dehydrated as they could to make weight. I'm like, and a buddy of mine in high school, he was a wrestler. He only wanted being like 6 foot. And again, this could be just a total genetic thing, but he was a wrestler. His brother was a football player. He's my size, like 6'5", 6'6", big guy. And his brother wasn't as big. And it was like, he was always, since the seventh grade, dieting for wrestling, trying to make 189. Yeah. And
I'm I quit for two reasons. Number one, I kept getting tons of skin infections. I got staph. I got ringworm around my face. Sure. I got impetigo. I got, what else did I get? I got like another one. And after like the last one, I went to the doctor and he's like, you're very susceptible. I don't know if they're washing your mats, but you can't keep getting these. I can't give you all these antibiotics all the time. And so I had to quit. I didn't want any more issues. But what's interesting is after that, I think wrestling is a good sport as far as gaining discipline, really, understanding what it takes to win, because it's a one-on-one sport, and it's very stressful, because it's just you going out on a mat, you against, it's the ultimate warrior sport, right? Boxing's great too, but wrestling is like, if you dominate a guy in wrestling, like pinning him or whatever, knocking somebody out is very satisfying, but wrestlers can, if you can't get close to them, any boxer, any of them, it's been proven in MMA that wrestler always wins. So
it always ends up on the mat.
Yeah. And so it's really strange, because it's such a cult following, because everybody that's into wrestling, it becomes this cult of personality, that everybody, if you look at most wrestlers, they're very similar in a lot of their behaviors, very disciplined. They can put up with anything, most wrestlers, very extreme with dieting, very extreme with training and very extreme with like, for example, we would go to a party and I had a buddy that was a wrestler in college. He was a little guy. He wrestled at like, I think 112. He was a college wrestler. And we were hanging out one night and a guy just bumped into him. Next thing I know, he's, you know, beating the crap out of this guy on the ground. Just flip in a second, you know? I'm like, dude, you can't do that to people, you know? It's, and he's like, yeah,
pit bull
deserved it. Yeah. I'm like, one day it's going to come back to you and you're going to pick it with the wrong guy. And you're going to find yourself in a fight. You know, he's, I like that, you know? And it's like all these guys I met, they just, all they wanted to do was fight. A lot of the wrestlers I hung around with, you know, and it's one of those things. And, as far as dieting with that, I think wrestling was the number one thing that caused me to have an eating disorder just along with, and then what did I do next after wrestling? I went into like, martial arts, but I also got into bodybuilding and all that stuff.
Oh, bodybuilding. That screwed you up a little bit. I never saw that coming.
It destroyed me.
Kevin Lavroni said something like that, on 8-week diet, he just ate fish every day. All he did is ate tilapia and cod every day. That's it.
Yeah.
Getting ready. Could you imagine going, 8 weeks, six, sometimes seven meals a day of just fish?
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
No. I mean, you know, what's funny is my buddy in Chicago in the summers, we would kind of eat good and diet. And he would go with his brother to a tilapia pond where you could go and fish it. You would pay a fee and you could only take like three or four fish with you. They would sneak in at night and they would steal like, gosh, I'd probably say like 30 salmon and tilapia out of this lake. And then they'd come back and we would have fish all week and we would just eat this, nothing but fish all week and basmati rice and get shredded in like a week, you know, because we were already pretty lean. Yeah. So it's like, I can see why he did that, but I'll tell you, if I ate just fish, man, that'd be really boring. I don't know if I could deal with it. The rice made such a difference to have it with the, you know, with the fish, but to eat just, I could see why Kevin Ravone got in such great shape. He was a good bodybuilder and he would transform in like no time at all. You know,
he was the only one that got bigger going into the show. Everybody else is
bigger.
Yeah. Gets small and then blow up. But yeah. No, it's crazy. Okay, so going back, I don't know. I mean, we left this one out, I guess. The fish situation, as long as it's not fried and if it's grilled or baked or whatever, I mean, much like Lavroni, much like you and your buddy with the basmati rice, buddy of mine from college, a fraternity brother, actually, he was telling me that he was doing the same thing, doing orange roughy, though. He was eating orange roughy like five or six times a day, and the dude showed me pictures. I'm like, he's skinless. I mean, he was shredded.
Yeah. It's man. Fish will do it, man. Fish is really good. Yeah. I remember my buddy and I on fish, and then it's a great, great diet to lose weight on. But you, after a while, man, you really gets to you. You know, you got to have something different. But the rice will move it along and help it. But I could never go 8 weeks of just eating fish.
I was sitting there eating dinner tonight. You're never going to guess what I had.
Beef.
I had a ribeye, and I was sitting there looking at Karina, and I was like, you know, I could eat this every day of my life. Like if you came up to me and said, you just need to eat ribeye all day, every day, I'd be like, okay, that I can do. Chicken, I couldn't do it. Pork, couldn't do it. Fish, absolutely not. But when it comes just beef, I could eat. Like if you told me every meal had to be beef, okay, you can have one protein shake a day. You know, I'd be like, that would be my nirvana. I'd be like, that'd be perfect.
Yeah, that's I do too. It's you know, as a kid, I didn't like fat as a kid, though. I would eat the steak and I would cut my fat off. And my sister would say, give me all your fat. And so my brother and I would cut all our fat off. She'd give us her steak and we'd give her all our fat. She loved the fat. Oh, and she wasn't fat. It was just weird. You know, she was loved it. And now as I got older, I did acquire a taste for it, you know, especially on a really good cooked ribeye. Mm. You get that edgy, the fat of the edging on. Oh, my gosh, it's so good.
It's funny you said that. I was talking to, we had some friends of ours come over the other day, and he was talking about that. There's something about the smell of grilled or seared fat.
Yeah.
You know, when you're on the grill and you smell that, it's just like, oh, yeah, that's, oh.
Yeah.
I don't know, John. I'll tell you what. I think that the people listening to this, I think if they stick to this plan here, I mean, like I say, it's one of those to barbecue or not to barbecue. Are you going to party or not party? If you want to go show up to these things and throw down and just drink and eat whatever and everything, I say more power to you. Go for it.
Yeah.
I know
that's
not what I'm going to do. I know that's not what you're going to do. And I know the people that are trying to stick with their plan will just be like, all right, I think that, you know, preparing for it and having some willpower once you're there, think you can have a really good time, and you're going to wake up the next day and be like, wow, I actually feel pretty good, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea.
Yep, yep. So
I think all that stuff will work, and all that stuff will help get people through the hard time, so to speak, when you're out at a barbecue, man. I know that it can get pretty rough.
Isn't it funny, though, we think about the hard times. The hard times are going to a barbecue where there's insane amounts of – where it's a giant feast. Food. Yeah, all this food. It's like gluttony, and it's like you look at our ancestors 200 years ago or whatever, or even further back going to the times of Christ, where it's like, all right, you know, hey, your brother's home. Let's go, you know, kill a lamb. It's like, wait.
Yeah.
You're killing a lamb for him. He's the one that left. I stayed here. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah.
You know, it's just like, how come he gets a lamb? Or now it'd be like,
yeah.
You know?
You're right. It's like here we're complaining about like how hard it is, and we're getting as much food as we want, and that's our complaint, right? And you just sit there and you say, wow, we are so spoiled as Americans.
But it just goes to show you though that you can take anything and find a way to make it bad. I mean, like, for example, look at all this food we have now. Well, we're going to take it to the next level to the point where we eat so much we have to take drugs or else we'll die.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. It's just like human nature in general is just it's like self-destructive.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just blows my mind that it's like when you look at the old photographs of Americans and working and all this stuff and how everyone was, for the most part, looked like they could at least, you know, walk down a block. And now you know, people in pajamas on those motorized carts going through Walmart with a cart full of potato chips and candy bars. And it's just, it's unbelievable that that's where, like I said, 200 Americans, 200 years ago, fighting across the prairies and whatnot, going out West, would look at Americans now and just be like, who are these people?
Yeah.
This is a distant relative of mine.
Yeah. And you know, we know something, Mike, can you imagine 200 years from now, what people are going to look like? You know, that movie WALL-E is starting to come true.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly, you hit the nail on the head. All right. Well, hey, thanks again, everybody, for listening. Make sure you check out our sponsors. You got ultimatewindowshuntsville.com for your affordable and fantastic window needs. You've got VJD Webworks, cool websites, simple and affordable, and Justin-Leonard.com. And he's the one that did all the graphics, like the one behind me right there. So, John, happy Real No Kings Day. And
stay strong, stay healthy. And stay free. Thanks for listening in, guys.
America.